Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Hey, Jimmy, how much time is left? How much time is left in the show?
We have as much time as we want. I just hit record.
You're right. You know, I'm just riding off.
I mean, I can count you down from 60 minutes, but...
I'm just riding off what Zoe left me with the other day on his show, and I just couldn't really carry the load there for that last 3 minutes. So I figure I'll hand it over to you because you can steer the wheel a little better in this one here for WrestleCast. Jimmy.
Hello again, everybody. I'm James Stewart along with Mike Sarge Riley, who can't fill for 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever amount of time. Like, that's weird to me. You work in radio and you can't fill for 3 minutes, 5 minutes? I mean.
Oh, I can do it all, Jimmy. I can do it all.
Apparently not, because you failed. From all of my reports, you failed miserably.
Oh, no. That was A-plus performance, giving everybody the credit that they never get from Zoe and Beetle, because those two clowns are all about themselves.
So how many shout-outs did you give for this podcast?
You're right. I didn't give any.
Hello again, everybody. It's Shane Stewart, now solo doing wrestling inside the ropes. Mike Riley will no longer be the co-host of this program. A few things before we get to our top story this week. I want to open up with a shout out to a good brother, Carl Anderson. He and his hot Asian wife have added their fourth child, Cash. So congratulations to the Anderson family. They're great people. And they've welcomed their fourth child into the world. So congratulations to them. Make sure you give a listen to Mike's conversation with EC3. NXT will be in Lowell in Brooklyn this week. I'll be attending the NXT show in Lowell along with the Wong father. So that'll be fun. That'll be something to look forward to.
Have a good time there. I wish I could join you guys, but I'll be in parts unknown. You'll find out about it on Twitter. Get ready for that.
I'm actually glad you can't make it. The Wong father and I haven't spent time together in a while, and I'm looking forward to it being time spent with him without you.
Bye, Chapstick.
Mike, I think the clear top story this week is SummerSlam. Specifically for me, it's the main event of SummerSlam. It looks to me like Roman Reigns is going to take the top spot in WWE by defeating Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. For me, I just want to make clear that I think AJ Styles as the WWE champion and the history of that championship makes it the number one championship in the WWE. But in the eyes of the casual fan and maybe Vince McMahon himself, the Raw champion is the number one guy. I want Brock Lesnar to retain so that the internet wrestling fan will burn the internet to the ground, which is, you know, I kind of enjoy watching the world burn at times. But it brings me to this question, because we all roads lead to Roman Reigns winning the Universal Championship, unless there is a cash in by Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens.
Right.
Will that in any way change our viewing habits on Monday night? In other words, Kevin Owens was amazing when he was the Universal Champion, and I don't know that he meant anything for the week-to-week ratings. I'd have to do some research on it and dig that up, but it doesn't feel that way. So I get that we all would like to see the main championship be eligible to be defended each and every week, but will it really make a difference, and will it really be defended every week? Mike?
Yeah, you know, Jimmy, it definitely will not. We know that every week. The ratings are still going to be there. People are still going to want to watch, and they're going to be intrigued by what's happening with the Universal Championship. We know that. Hearing you talk there a moment ago, Jimmy, I'm with you. If Brock Lesnar does win at SummerSlam, the internet would burn down. Yes.
Oh, it would be so much fun. It'd be so great.
It would be fantastic. It'd be great. But don't be surprised though, if he does drop the title the following night on Raw. I could very easily see that happening, where you may not get. you know, that cash in what I've been predicting for a while with Braun Strowman at SummerSlam that could happen the following night. So you have that audience there to watch Raw to see what's going to happen.
So
next.
Mike, you think that WWE would have Brock Lesnar beat Roman Reigns for what I think would be the sixth time and then have something happen on Raw the next night?
Well, you could start to put Raw after SummerSlam almost like the Raw after WrestleMania. This could be your show.
So you would sign Brock Lesnar to an extra day contract at ridiculous money so that he can drop the title to somebody other than Roman Reigns.
Is he definitely out after SummerSlam? Or is that confirmed? I thought it
feels
was
like,
September 1st.
So according to Meltzer, he has one date left on his contract, and it's SummerSlam.
Okay, so I was reading September 1st. If that's the case, then you know what? Whatever's best for ratings, they'll do whatever they got to do. I mean, to maybe give that Raw an extra push, if they want to do that, go ahead. Otherwise, he's going to drop the title on Sunday. I'm with you, Jimmy. That'd be awesome to see the internet burn down, Twitter absolutely blow up, go into a stratosphere, but that's not going to happen. Reigns is taking this one to the bank, and then maybe even losing to Strowman on Sunday for the cash-in after.
So as far as to answer my own question, as far as will it be defended every week, will it really make a difference? I'm not sure that it will. WWE right now
it should be defended every month.
It should be at least defended on every special event. I think we agree with that.
Yeah, doesn't have to be every week, but every month though.
But I think to the point that I was going to make before I was so rudely interrupted, the WWE just doesn't have that Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, Rock, John Cena franchise star anymore. And I think for all the people who want to hate on Brock Lesnar, he's closer to those names that I just listed than Roman Reigns. Now, look, I like Roman. I'm a fan of his work. But what can WWE do to put him in that upper tier? He's main evented with Brock Lesnar twice, Triple H, and Undertaker at WrestleMania. And the older, more vocal fans still can't stand him. For all of the internet fans and the high percentage of fans who buy tickets who want Roman Reigns to turn heel, from a business point of view, who takes over that top spot?
Yeah, great question.
And I don't have an answer for it.
No.
So from a storyline point of view, Roman Reigns might make more sense as a villain just based on how the more vocal fan reacts to him in the arena.
Right.
But from a revenue point of view, Roman Reigns must be the clear top draw in the company. And that's why he's main evented four consecutive WrestleManias. That's why he's consistently at the ESPN ESPY Awards. He's at all these client events. So I don't know who would take over that spot for Roman Reigns, but there's a business aspect to why he is on the good side of things. And the money that Roman Reigns draws at this point has to go beyond t-shirt sales, plaques, autograph signings, and it must be defined more as commercial sponsors. So as I said, Roman goes to these corporate meet and greets and the ESPN award shows, and those are ad dollars. Those are commercial revenue dollars that now become part of Roman Reigns' package and his money package. And
right.
So unless something has happened to the cash value of Roman Reigns, I don't think they can turn him heel anytime soon, which is what I think the whole internet fan wants.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem. It's kind of history repeating itself a little bit, where for years everybody wanted John Cena to turn heel, right? Isn't that where we were for a while?
Oh, 100%. A lot of people did.
Right, and that's, so again, you know, history repeats itself here, full circle. You're in the same boat as Roman Reigns, where you've gone too deep, and this is a guy you've invested in. So it can't be done. It's just not going to happen. But, you know, the only thing I could think of initially, Jimmy, when you asked that, who is the guy that could be the next heel? I mean, it's way too late because he's so popular now and he's so over with the fans. But, you know, maybe a year ago, I would have said Braun Strowman. I would have said that.
Well, because Roman Reigns was so despised by the fans, it helped Braun Strowman get over more.
Right.
Because they wanted to see Braun Strowman destroy this guy, destroy Roman Reigns.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it just, that's the situation the WWE is in. They've invested way too much in him, and he's too popular with kids, Jimmy. We know that. Look at the merchandise he's selling. What was he, number two? Number two for merchandise, I think?
So I'm not sure. I haven't seen merchandise numbers in a long time.
It's up there, though. It's definitely top five. So, yeah, will he win the belt Sunday at SummerSlam? In my opinion, yes. But I really think that the cash-in is going to happen either at SummerSlam or the following night when Braun Strowman does it. In the event of Brock Lesnar, like I said before, in the event of him winning there on SummerSlam, I very easily could see him losing the following night on Raw. But I got Reigns winning at SummerSlam.
So one thing that I think it's interesting to bring up is I could see people bringing up the fact that Hulk Hogan turned at one point into a bad guy.
Yep.
And the difference between Hulk Hogan when he was real American for Vince and when he was in WCW is that the point that Hulk Hogan turned on WCW, from a storyline point of view, it made a ton of sense. And from a business point of view, it also made sense because at the time, Hulk Hogan wasn't selling merchandise. He had been off TV for a while, and there was no incoming revenue stream for WCW based on the Hulk Hogan name. So it made all the sense in the world. So it's a research project that I should invest in to find out who the top real draws are. But from a perception standpoint, it feels like Roman Reigns is and has been for a long time Vince McMahon and the WWE's biggest draw. And that's why he'll beat Brock Lesnar clean in the middle in Brooklyn at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship.
Yeah, and like you said, that WWE Championship, it's the traditional one. That's the first one there, and I'm with you. I have higher prestige for that one over the Raw one, but that is the flagship show, Monday Night Raw, and the Universal title. I think that's where they're trying to push us here. And don't forget, yeah, it is still a young title, Jimmy. So if Reigns does win, he can go on the fact that, one, yes, he did beat The Undertaker. Two, he did beat Brock Lesnar, a former Universal Champion, if it happens. And then look at the other guys who have held it. You've had Goldberg. That was a big one to hold it. And then Kevin Owens, we know that. Finn Balor had it, too. But the Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, those guys, and then Reigns right after it, the prestige will be there for Roman Reigns. So they have made him into that. They've built that stage for him to step on where he's going to win this title.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if any one of the names that you mentioned actually gets a rematch for the Universal Championship, because no former Universal Champion has ever gotten a rematch. It's something to file away.
Yeah, and that Universal title, like I said, it is coming up on the 2-year anniversary, SummerSlam 2016.
Mike, what's your lead story this week?
Well, Jimmy, it regards to Ring of Honor and the G1 Supercard that will be at Madison Square Garden, New Japan G1 Supercard. It's sold out. Can you believe that? We've been talking about this, you and I, for the past few weeks, talking about the situation. WrestleMania weekend, Ring of Honor, it's going to be the first weekend at Madison Square Garden. We know that's been the main home base for WWE for years. And it's really incredible, the fact that 18,500 seats for wrestling at Madison Square Garden. You and I and the Wong Father were at the Supercard last April in New Orleans, where about 6,000 went to that arena we were at that held almost close to 10,000. Close to.
If they had opened up that building, they could have put 10,000 in there, but they put it in half so that they could get 6,000, which I think they thought was a more attainable number for Ring of Honor.
Okay, and then now an article here, Chris Ripley, the CEO of Ring of Honor's parent company, Sinclair Broadcast, he told the Baltimore Business Journal back in the spring that Ring of Honor was planning to run a show at Madison Square Garden in 2019. But the COO, Joe Koff, told PW Insider that WWE intervened, as we talked about, and attempted to get MSG to back out of the deal. So, you know, it's crazy that this thing sold out at Madison Square Garden. New York is going to be a hot spot here. And this just shows, Jimmy, that this is really awesome for the talent, New Japan and Ring of Honor. I mean, you know, led by Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks. It's really incredible and an honor for those guys to be in New York City and legitimately WWE's home base. Kenny Omega, another guy. I'm really amazed by it. Really, really am. And I'm intrigued to see if that's going to get, if that'll be the Saturday show. So if that'll outdraw NXT in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center again.
So what I find fascinating about this story, Mike, is there were 9,000 tickets sold on the first day that they were put on sale, a sale that was only open to subscribers of Ring of Honor's Honor Club. That is their version of the WWE Network Honor Club.
Yep. Which you are a member of.
I am a member of. And I did not use my code because I will not be going to New York for WrestleMania weekend. The people who got that Honor Club code were subscribers as of August 1st.
Right.
And what happened was, because of this show, there was a late run of Honor Club subscriptions. So this was on people's radars, and then they took that extra step to make sure that they were part of the pre-sale. I find it fascinating that 9,000 tickets sold on a pre-sale for Ring of Honor. Not because they're not a good company, but just that I think we're in a wrestling boom period.
Yeah.
And I have a bigger question to this in a moment, but I want to do some quick math here because I know that you could max out at 8 tickets per Honor Club.
Okay.
So 9,000 divided by 8 is a little over 1,000. So they had at minimum 1,000 Honor Club subscribers, which for Ring of Honor is really good.
Sure.
I mean, I was going to shows when there was 400 people at an armory up the street.
Right.
You know, or they were at Framingham State College and they had 300 people there to watch a barbed wire match or Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles, something like that.
And Jimmy, you and I have been to two shows together up at the Lowell Memorial Auditorium, a great venue to watch wrestling. I know NXT is going to be there this week, as you mentioned. But again, the fact that you're going that small to something that big, which is legitimately the mecca of sports arenas in North America, that's incredible. And let alone WrestleMania weekend, right there. So you're going head-to-head with NXT again.
So I also think it's very interesting to note that there's no main event announced for this show. It's Ring of Honor, New Japan. They're doing a show at MSG. And I bring this up because Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and Cody are not under contract for that show.
Okay.
They could very well become under contract for that show. Yep. But as of today, my information tells me that they are not under contract for that show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get to a point, WWE might be like, okay, you four guys, tell us the number. And then it's up to them whether they want to go to WWE and try to be on their main roster and be important, or whether they want to draw their own career path. Because I think Kenny Omega would say no unless the money is just stupid, which it might be. I think the Young Bucks are self-driven individuals. And again, unless the number is stupid, they'll continue to create their own artwork in the world of wrestling. Cody's right. Been there. Cody's done that. So, again, unless the number is stupid and they give Cody the position that he thinks he deserves, and by the way, I think he does deserve it. It's an interesting little note that as we talk here in August of 2018 might not mean anything for April of 2019.
Yeah,
but here's kind of the question that I want to ask is this. This Ring of Honor, Madison Square Garden, New Japan thing, I read that and I felt this way for about a year now, maybe a year plus. We're in a boom period right now for pro wrestling, or at least to me it feels that way. So why is there such a negative vibe towards the WWE main roster?
Well, you know what? I don't know, but the only reason the best answer I can come up with is there too much? I don't know. I know that they did the brand split 2 years ago, and you know, maybe is it the fact that they now have the co-branded pay-per-views where not everyone is on the card every month? Is there too much talent where it's still not being showcased? You know, I even consider, okay, EC3, in the interview I had with him last week, Jimmy, we were talking. When I mentioned it to him, I said, okay, well, you could go to, you know, you're part of the WWE family here, Raw and SmackDown, you could be part of those shows. And he made it very clear. He said, yeah, those are great shows, but NXT, it's our own brand. So is it just like there's too much out there where people are too focused on one show? Like, okay, I admit I prefer SmackDown over Raw. So if I can watch SmackDown over Raw, I'm going to do that. And maybe that's why I don't have a lot of interest in, say, Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin at SummerSlam. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm heavily invested in AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, or Carmella and Becky Lynch over Alexa Bliss
and Charlotte
and Ronda Rousey. That's what I think the problem is. It's too divided. I think there's a little too much going on there. So I think that's the best answer I can get. What do you think?
So for me, I think it's because the hardcore wrestling fan hates that WWE is more about the casual person, yep, who's on their couch with the clicker. The hardcore wrestling fan is more about the story than it is the business side of things, even right, though at different points in times the two can be connected. For some reason, it isn't connecting right now.
Yep.
We tend to forget that WWE is a business, and this seems to be a theme of the show today. Mm-hmm. And it's a global entertainment company. And it really goes back to the famous Ted Turner phone call to Vince McMahon when Ted Turner bought JCP and was officially the owner of World Championship Wrestling. Vince McMahon is in the entertainment business. Vince McMahon makes movies. Everyone else is in the wrestling business.
Right.
And I think that the hardcore wrestling fan, like myself, I call it pro wrestling.
Yep.
When you're in the WWE family, you call it sports entertainment.
Right.
And
right,
I think that might be the biggest difference, is that the older people, I'm 37, you're 32?
Four.
34.
As of last Wednesday.
We're wrestling fans. The WWE is trying to create a culture in which they call it sports entertainment.
Correct.
And it's something that if you go back and you watch the old pay-per-views, you know, it'll say the WWF, what the world is watching, the right, worldwide leader in sports and entertainment, things, yep, like that, because they want their own language, much in the carny kayfabe world, as you know, that's wrestling language, quote unquote.
Right.
Is Vince McMahon wants his own language. He wants you to know he's an entertainment company. He's not a wrestling company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we get the terrible skits between Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, and not the every promo, every match is leading towards some sort of stake or championship or number one contendership, or it all drives towards the same goal. New Japan is currently doing the G1 tournament, or they just concluded the tournament, and the winner of that tournament gets a title opportunity, and so on down the line. Everything, yep, in New Japan is about championships, winning matches. In WWE, it's about putting smiles on kids' faces.
Exactly.
And I think that's the answer to my question.
Yep,
is why there's such a negative vibe towards it. But see, what WWE doesn't understand is that years ago, you had a great rivalry, and I would argue John Cena's best rivalry, was John Cena's the main guy for the kids, CM Punk is the main guy for the adults. You can,
yes,
have two trains running,
right,
in the same,
yeah,
direction.
Cena's your traditional face, Punk was your traditional heel, and you know, I think that was, obviously it was post-Attitude Era, it was kind of like the perfect CM Punk Attitude Era heel, you know, wise ass, no problem, it was kind of like a semi-Stone Cold heel, if you will. Had the little thing going with Vince, right? Unbelievable.
Well, because with
on the
CM
microphone.
Punk, you thought it was real.
It was real.
You had a vibe that CM Punk was telling you the truth every time he,
right,
talked into a microphone.
Right. And it was actually really good stuff. So I'm with you there. Perfect scenario. Heel in Punk and the ultimate babyface, John Cena.
So back to the MSG thing. Meltzer would write, the sellout wasn't a surprise, but the expectations were it would take a special match like Okada and Omega, and they still might do this to sell out the building, but it wouldn't happen late in the game. Meltzer also says, the idea is traveling fans in the market for WrestleMania would decide it would be cool to see pro wrestling in Madison Square Garden and see a blowout main event match. It's actually very possible that a large percentage of this audience may not even be attending WrestleMania.
What? Isn't that crazy?
That's what strikes me. That, I think, is one of the more interesting things about this whole Ring of Honor New Japan selling out Madison Square Garden is the audience might not go to WrestleMania the next day.
It's really, and last year, you know, they went head-to-head with NXT on the TakeOver, and they're going to do it again this year, too, on the Saturday, if NXT TakeOver will indeed be the Saturday. I don't think that has officially been announced. Well, actually, it has, yeah. It will be head-to-head again. So I thought at least Ring of Honor would go to Friday, Jimmy. You know, you're going up against the Hall of Fame,
nope.
And maybe you get more of the WWE fans, but they don't have to.
Nope.
They really don't have to. It's amazing.
So
they get their own little brand, and you hit the nail on the head. We are in a boom period.
Here's my question: would, because there was a rumor about this, and I don't think that they would. Would they do two nights of WrestleMania? In other words, you put WrestleMania SmackDown on Saturday night, you put WrestleMania Raw on Sunday night, and your one ticket gets you the same seat for both shows.
Well, wait a second now. Hold on. Would this both be... Okay, so it would have to be...
So in other words, we'll use SummerSlam as an example, right?
Yeah, I think... Okay,
so
your
main event for Saturday night would be AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe for the WWE Championship. That's
right.
The SmackDown main event. For Sunday night WrestleMania, it's Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. And you would have three and a half, four-hour shows per brand, same venue, MetLife Stadium, same ticket gets you into both, but you have to make the commitment to go Saturday and Sunday. Would
no.
they do something like that?
You could do it, but then you'd have to downgrade your venue. You're not going to have your football stadium anymore. I think you'd have to go to indoor arenas, maybe go somewhere like the TD Garden again or anywhere.
But this is
else
why I ask is if you pay your $500 for a WrestleMania ticket,
yep.
It gets you to two shows that are still going to total 6 to 7 hours. It's just over the course of 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's a cool concept, Jimmy. I don't think it would fly though. I think you got to have it one night only. It's just like the Super Bowl. It's the equivalent of the Super Bowl, which they've branded WrestleMania on for years. It is at one day of the year, and that's how it'll always be. And it will, I mean, it's a cool thing. I understand what you're saying, but no. One day only WrestleMania. It is long as hell when you're there as a fan. We know that. It's almost like a work day, but one day only. That's it.
WrestleMania is like going to a Patriots game. It's a full day, and it's fine.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
You know, we've done it. I've done four WrestleManias, and it's...
Yep.
It's
you need
a
about a week to recover, too, considering what city you're in, if you know what I mean.
Right, exactly. We can talk about your escapades another time, just not here.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe the next time you get airtime, you can just talk about all of your travel experiences to WrestleMania.
Oh, I'll be back. Don't worry.
One other note from Meltzer. Chris Jericho might be going to TNA, and this is just Meltzer's speculation here. Mm-hmm. He goes through who he's got relationships with and so on and so on. But this is the sentence that got me. While nobody will say anything, there is a lot of belief within the business that Jericho is destined to be here, referring to TNA, and not wanting to do anything that would get Vince mad is out the window. It's not nearly as strong as it was months ago. Because there was this vibe, just to clarify that statement by Meltzer, which I misread, which is kind of a theme for me. Chris Jericho said he wouldn't wrestle in the United States because it would be in I don't want to say insulting to Vince McMahon, but it would be disrespectful to Vince McMahon. I don't know his exact words. But the point is, Jericho wasn't going to work in the U.S. because he didn't want to go against Vince. If this is true, what Meltzer's speculating here, that Jericho is destined to be here and it doesn't matter if Vince gets mad or not, is Chris Jericho a game changer for TNA?
Ooh, I'd have to say so, wouldn't you? I mean, he's definitely one of the, he's a top five greatest in-ring performer of all time. We know what he's done for his championship caliber. It'd definitely be a draw. That may be, maybe bring TNA back from the dead a little bit, right? I mean, there's not too much of an interest with them as there was a few years ago. I totally see them coming back and adding more spice to their life. Don't you?
I don't.
You don't?
And okay. Here's why.
Is it too late?
Who does Chris Jericho fight in TNA?
Who? I don't know. Mike,
this is my point, right?
Yep.
When Chris Jericho went to New Japan, It was Kenny Omega. And then you go down the list from there, whether it's Okada, it was Naito. There are more household names. Other than Eddie Edwards, who I would love to see fight Chris Jericho, name me a TNA performer. This is my point, Mike, that you could name me New Japan wrestlers. You can't name me TNA wrestlers.
Right, for the fact of, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
So while I could see Chris Jericho going there, I need a dream match for him. Sami Callihan doesn't do it for me.
Wait a second. If he is the first to go, then you may have that domino effect again.
Who's available to go to TNA?
I'm just saying, but like kind of like back in the 90s where everyone jumped ship to go to WCW with the money being thrown out. If they do decide to pony it up there, then they get him over there. But, look, we have Jericho. You want to go up against him? Here you go. Here's $1 million, just hypothetically speaking there. Who would go to TNA? I could give you about five guys off the current roster right now who would go.
Off of whose current roster?
WWE.
Okay, go.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Sami Zayn. I could totally
see
Sami Zayn.
He's injured.
He's
out for a year.
I'm sorry?
Sami Zayn is injured. He is out for a year.
Okay. When he's healthy, he'll be back. I could see a guy, and if he doesn't get the push that he wants, I could see Bobby Lashley going back to TNA.
Bobby Lashley's got a 3-year contract.
If he doesn't get the push he wants, get ready. He could be going back there. Let's see here, Jimmy. I could even see a guy that gets frustrated, Mike Bennett.
I wouldn't shoot that one down. But is Mike Bennett versus Chris Jericho a main event drawing match?
No, it's not. It's not.
Okay, so I will give you four.
I got two more for you. Got two more. We still don't know the deal on his contract. What about if they lure Daniel Bryan?
This is a good one. I think Daniel Bryan would work a limited schedule, but his contract is up September 1st. Meltzer doesn't think that he's going to show up at midnight at All In because the start time is before midnight. Depending on what happens, I think Daniel Bryan's an interesting one, and that's a story that hasn't played out. So you've got Jericho and Daniel Bryan.
That's my fourth, and then my fifth, I'm going to go a total wild card, a guy that you probably wouldn't expect. I know he's been hurt for a while, totally off the storyline. I'm just going to say it. What the hell? Jason Jordan.
So he's injured. His injury is back. Much worse than suspected. He might be done.
Okay. All right, fine. But when they're both back or healthy. How about, what's Jinder Mahal's contract deal? What's his deal?
Jinder wouldn't downgrade himself. He'll be Universal Champion before you know it.
No way. No way. Maybe one of the tag team guys want out of the division too.
So
they may want to go individual. Maybe Cesaro wants to go individual. Just
Mike, I will tell you what your answer should have been.
Huh?
Because you had five wrestlers.
Yep.
You had one correct answer. I will give you the other four answers that should have been correct.
Daniel Bryan
was your correct answer. Your other four answers should have been Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks.
I was saying WWE talent, though, the WWE roster.
I know. I'm correcting you.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay.
I'm making you sound good. Don't worry.
Understood. But it's very intriguing, though, to go up against Chris Jericho in the same ring as him. It's a tough one to turn down if they were one of those guys. Think about that. So Bennett, don't rule that out, and also Daniel Bryan. Boom.
You had four wrong answers there. I'm sticking with that.
Two out of five.
I want to kind of close up here with, do you want to do SummerSlam click picks?
Quick? I think we should. You ready to go?
Yes. I will go first.
Go ahead.
Here are my SummerSlam quick picks for you. Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Kevin Owens, Miz, Seth Rollins, the Bludgeon Brothers, Shinsuke Nakamura, and if I missed a match, you can do that on your own time. Mike, go.
AJ Styles and Roman Reigns, Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch. We got The Miz over Daniel Bryan, and I have Seth Rollins beating Dolph Ziggler. You did not do the United States title, I believe. Jeff Hardy, going to go with that.
I did. I said Shinsuke Nakamura, who's the current champion, would retain.
I didn't hear you there. I'm sorry. I'm also going to go with Braun Strowman over Kevin Owens, and give me the New Day over the Bludgeon Brothers. Boom.
All right, so those are our quick picks for SummerSlam. A few things as we wrap up the show. We got our VIP confirmation for October 21st at the TD Garden. They're going to be releasing tickets August 23rd, August 25th, something like that later in this month. Want to thank Billy Smith and a new friend who I'm not going to tell you who it is in the WWE Universe for taking care of us. We're just two wrestling fans. So, Mike, you're welcome. You can continue to ride my coattails of greatness.
And polish them off your shoes as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. Want to shout out Conrad and Bruce, Something to Wrestle With podcast. They're doing Boston. They're doing the Kowloon October 21st, 781-233-007. Remember, you have to call to get your tickets. Box office is open from noon to 11 p.m., 7 days a week, and that is Eastern time. For all of our friends who live in different time zones, and I know we have them. So, Mike,
that's right.
You have a closing promotion.
Two things, yeah. Just to touch on that, too, with the Kowloon at the Something to Wrestle With podcast. We had the Dirty Deeds dinner with Bruce
Dirty
and Conrad
Dozen.
In the show. Yep, Bruce and Conrad show in Boston last year, and then Orlando. It's a great show. Call the Kowloon and get your tickets there. Two quick things, Jimmy. Yes, the promotion coming up August 25th. This is Jake the Snake Roberts in Hanover, Mass, Starland Sports. He'll be signing autographs there. And also, our good friend Ilya will be taking part at Starland in Hanover. That's coming up on August the 25th in Hanover, Massachusetts. That's New England All-Star Wrestling. And it's in tribute to the fallen Weymouth police officer, Michael Chesna, as well. Sergeant Michael Chesna. They're having a memorial cup for him. And also, Jimmy, since this podcast is on the 98.5 The Sports Hub, our HD2 channel, and, of course, the website, happy birthday to 98.5 The Sports Hub. 9 years in the making. Proud to be a small part of that here, Wrestling Inside the Ropes. At WrestleCast 985.
Mike, you have 1 minute left. Go.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, a lot of fun this week. Looking forward to SummerSlam next week. Give us a follow on Twitter at WrestleCast 95. He is at I Am James Stewart. That's STEWART. I am at Sarge 985. Both of us blue check marks. If you're going to NXT Lowell on Thursday, look for Jimmy. And if you really want to take care of him, he likes Honey Jack and also, what is it? Honey Jack and
ginger ale.
Thank you very much. And if he's really dehydrated, get him a water. And you know what? Give him a stew salute because I won't be there. And look for the Wong Father, too. Get your picture and maybe a saga swing as well.
Mike, well done. It wasn't quite a minute, but it was close enough.
Do what I have to do, right?
For Mike Riley at Sarge 985, I am James Stewart. We will talk to you after SummerSlam. Enjoy your week.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go.
No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.